Delta takes flak for partnering with Saudi Arabian Airlines. Jackie Wardis Pitts is down, but she'll be okay. And Boeing rallies the aerospace community in Seattle. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 28, 2011. A Delta Airlines plan to enter into a codeshare agreement with Saudi Arabian Airlines has drawn fire from the American Center for Law and Justice. The organization says the agreement could lead to the banning of Jews and others holding Israeli passports from boarding Delta flights to certain destinations. Former Congressman Fred Gandy and his wife Catherine have also gotten involved. Catherine Gandy calls the move and others like it creeping Sharia law. WorldNet Daily reports Washington attorney Jeffrey Levitke wrote to Delta CEO Richard Anderson concerning the issue and received a response from Delta's customer care division, noting that Delta must comply with all applicable laws in every country it serves and places the burden of obtaining proper travel documents on the passenger. In a second letter to Levitke, Delta said it considers the matter closed and will not be responding to the issue again. It hopes to have Saudi Arabian Airlines on as a SkyTeam member by next year. ANN has learned that airshow pilot Jacqueline Warda has had to execute an unplanned landing in her Pitts airshow biplane due to an engine failure on her way back home from this past weekend's Celebration of Flight airshow in Caldwell, Idaho. She was on the way home to the San Francisco Bay Area when she lost power, and while her plane was destroyed, she's a bit bruised and scraped, but expected to be okay. The engine out happened over southeast Oregon. The International Council of Air Shows reports that, quote, "She'll be sore for a few weeks, but on behalf of the entire airshow community, we're very glad it was not worse than that," unquote. During the 100th anniversary of powered flight in 2003, Jackie retired from the legal profession and realized her dream of becoming an airshow pilot. She holds the distinction of being the first female pilot to enter the airshow business at age 50. In the last 8 years, she's flown in over 80 airshows from coast to coast. Sikorsky Aircraft has secured a contract to sell one S-70i Black Hawk helicopter to the state of Jalisco in Mexico. With that sale, Jalisco becomes the first state in Mexico to acquire its own Black Hawk. Jalisco is one of 31 states in Mexico and borders a high-risk area in President Calderón's war on drugs and organized crime. With the Pan American Games scheduled to be hosted in Jalisco's capital of Guadalajara later this year, the helicopter acquisition is part of a state initiative to increase safety and security in advance of this world event. The S-70i is the newest Black Hawk variant and is being produced for the international market. The aircraft was built at Sikorsky's PZL Mielec factory in Poland. Two NASA research airplanes will fly over the Baltimore-Washington region and northeast Maryland this summer as part of a mission to enhance the capability of satellites to measure ground-level air quality from space. Proving that all the easy acronyms are already taken, the campaign is called Discover AQ, which stands for, ready, Deriving Information on Surface Conditions from Column and Vertically Resolved Observations Relevant to Air Quality. A fundamental challenge for spaceborne instruments monitoring air quality is distinguishing between pollution high in the atmosphere and pollution near the ground where people live. The new NASA field campaign will make measurements from aircraft in combination with ground-based observation sites to help scientists better understand how to observe ground-level pollution from space in the future. Initial test flights are taking place this week. Sampling will focus on an area extending from Beltsville, Maryland, to the northeastern corner of the state in a pattern that follows major roadway traffic corridors at altitudes as high as 26,000 feet. In what is being described as the first event of its kind in the United States, manufacturers and suppliers from major global aerospace and defense industries will come together in Seattle next year to help create business opportunities and share information on industry growth trends. The Aerospace and Defense Supplier Summit, hosted by BCI Aerospace, and supported by Boeing and the Washington State Department of Commerce, is scheduled for March 12th through 15th at the Seattle Convention Center. Four Boeing business units, commercial airplanes, defense, space and security, engineering, operations and technology, and shared services group, will be represented at the event. A total of 600 businesses and 1,200 individuals are expected to participate. also making the Aerospace and Defense Supplier Summit one of the world's largest networking events. Up next on ANN, a PPC pilot apparently made a fatal go-no-go decision. Are airports the perfect place to grow biofuel stocks? And someone's going to get paid to live at an airport for 80 days. You're listening to Aeronews.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 28th. I'm Paul Plack. An NTSB preliminary report suggests the operator of an unregistered powered parachute lost a big gamble on June 18th. About 8:45 p.m. Mountain Time, the six-shooter Skyrider Aeroshoot weight-shift aircraft hit a fence about 10 miles west of Tooele, Utah. The sole occupant was killed and his PPC sustained substantial damage. In the past, regulatory agencies have often treated these accidents involving unregistered aircraft being flown by unlicensed pilots as ultralights subject to Part 103, even though they didn't qualify, perhaps to cut down on expenses and paperwork. But this one was treated as a Part 91 pleasure flight and is getting fully investigated. Based on contact with a person who said he taught the pilot how to operate the aircraft, it's thought the crash happened at the Acepa Recreation Area about 15 minutes after takeoff. The FAA learned the operator had called the individual who had taught him how to fly the craft before taking off. The report notably does not use the word instructor for that individual. He discouraged the flight, saying the winds were way beyond the limits of the powered parachute, but decided to visit the site to evaluate the winds himself. When he got there, he found the fatally injured owner and his parachute entangled in a barbed wire fence and variable winds at 30 knots with gusts to 35. The FAA's attempt to force ultralight training into the more tightly regulated world of light sport aircraft has been a conspicuous failure, at least for these low-mass, high-drag aircraft. The informal instruction, which used to be allowed under exemptions issued for groups like Aerosports Connection, disappeared when many of those instructors left the sport instead of becoming CFIs, and the legal training fleet pretty much disappeared when training in ELSAs was ended. Informal training by non-certified instructors in FAD ultralights apparently still happens, but it's been driven back underground. It's unclear whether that was the scenario in this case, and if the NTSB's report is accurate, it might not have mattered for this pilot. But with unregistered aircraft formerly written off as ultralights now being correctly categorized as Part 91 flights, expect more of these egregious head-scratchers to show up in the official accident reports and in the general aviation accident statistics. NASA says its Dawn spacecraft is on track to begin the first extended visit to a large asteroid. The mission expects to go into orbit around Vesta on July 16th, and begin gathering science data in early August. Vesta resides in the main asteroid belt of our solar system and is thought to be the source of a large number of meteorites that fall to the Earth. When Vesta's gravity captures Dawn into its orbit, there will be about 9,900 miles between them. They'll be about 117 million miles from Earth. Dawn's three instruments appear to be functioning and properly calibrated. Biofuel producers need a place to grow feedstocks for fuel production. Airports need something to do with otherwise undeveloped land around runways. Is that an opportunity? Well, we're about to see. The Wayne County Airport Authority, operator of Detroit Metropolitan Airport and Willow Run Airport, has partnered with the Michigan State University Extension Office to grow, harvest, and process bioenergy crops on airport-owned property. The Agri Energy Technology Demonstration Project is supported by a $476,000 grant awarded by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If the project is successful, it's hoped it could draw businesses which would produce alternative fuels for use in aircraft and other vehicles to locate near airports and be an overall economic development boost for Southeast Michigan. And finally today, there's living at the airport, and then there's this. The Vancouver Airport Authority has announced a contest to find a storyteller, quote, who's got what it takes to come live at YVR for 80 days and 80 nights and tell the unique, interesting, and little-known stories of Canada's second-largest airport, unquote. The only catch? The special correspondent can't leave YVR and its Sea Island home for the entire duration of the gig, which begins on the heels of the airport's 80th anniversary on July 22nd. The airport authority says the Live at YVR assignment focuses on covering the unique people, places, and stories that make the airport so unusual, from the midnight cargo flight full of blueberries to the mid-afternoon cleaning of an aquarium that's home to a pair of breeding wolf eels. There's no word on where this special correspondent will sleep or take showers during his 80-day stay. And before you rush to adapt your resume, you should know that the contest is open only to residents of British Columbia. Which is kind of odd if you think about it. Why does it matter where you live if they won't let you go home until after the job ends? That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.